You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Yeah, hello everyone and welcome to A Midlife Less Ordinary. And I'm Wayne as always, and how's Trev this week?
I'm tip top, fella. Tip top.
Tip top? Are you sponsored by a condensed cream now?
Condensed cream? It was condensed milk, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's close enough. Sorry, but you're not sponsored by them.
Who have you ever tasted condensed milk?
I have, actually, yeah.
It's awful, isn't it? Does anybody still actually drink condensed milk? What would you have it with? Would you have it in a cup of tea or coffee? I can't see what you do with it.
Right into Trev. He needs to know before he opens that's been in there since 1978.
Exactly. I think my dad used to have it in sandwiches.
Yeah, I think people do. Oh, this episode is not about condensed milk products. Not what this episode's about. So we're sorry if we've alienated you already.
Yeah, sorry. We'll get back on track.
We'll get back on the condensed milk anyway, one another time.
If people do know what they do with condensed milk, drop us
Let us know. Go to the website, amlopodcast.com, and let us know. Why not? Help Trev
out. Put me out of my misery.
Put him out of his misery. So this episode is basically all about retro arcade machines, which was a big part of our childhood, and it's entitled, This Game Is Not Over.
10-10s, please, Wayne.
Oh, 10-10s. Now, that's something I haven't heard for a while. 10-10s, please.
You said it thousands of times.
Yeah, exactly. Explain that to everyone, Trev. Explain it.
Well, because the pound coins had just come out, and most video games were 10p or 20p, the newer ones are 20p. So you couldn't put a pound in and get change. So you had to go to the change booth that was like normally in the centre of the arcade. So you'd go up there and the person in the booth was either like a middle-aged old woman, which is what we are. Well, I'm not middle-aged.
Now, there's a revelation.
It's all the condensed milk I have. But they would be the most miserable person that you could ever meet.
True.
And they just didn't even talk to you, did they?
No, they just slid and round. Pound,
they'd take the pound and there'd be like a little change machine and they'd put the pound in, press a button, it sounded like a ka-ching, checkout, a cashier's machine, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And there'd be this little kind of ramp and like 10-10s or a denomination of what you wanted would run down this thing and then come into the little chute like a little banker.
Like an Elter Skelter with a little collection
end. Yeah, it was. And then you had, in like a building society or a bank, they've got the counters with the little slots. They'd push it over there, but they'd never speak to you. They'd look at you as though like, you again? What are you doing now? Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They were so fearsome, but they were either like kind of women in their 50s with dodgy perms and shell suits on, or younger people doing a part-time job, wouldn't they? They were studying for something.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't even look up, would they, as you say?
No.
Give it to it. They were so programmed to put this pound or two pounds. There wasn't £2 coins.
They'd obviously sold their soul, hadn't they, to do that job.
Yeah, but they wouldn't even look at you.
No.
You're using a checkout in the supermarket and they wouldn't even speak or look at you.
It was intimidating.
They were so nonchalant. They were so nonchalant.
But you needed
just
them.
Just take your pound, looking away, and they'd use the machine. They normally were still reading, weren't they?
Yes, reading a book or something.
That's what it was. They were looking down and reading. But honestly, I haven't heard that term in ages.
10-10s, please. Yeah, that is.
It is a classic.
Honestly, I must have said that a thousand times. But we needed these people at the end of the day.
Because you couldn't play them with a pound.
No, because, exactly.
In the machine. So you couldn't, you know.
It's
something else, though.
It does make me laugh. But so retro arcade machines, now a big comeback's being made with these machines. I've actually got one myself in my house, much to my other half's dismay. And I'm looking to buy another one.
Which one you've got?
Well, I won't go into the big reasons right now, but I've got the 1UP arcades, Arcade 1UP Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but that's mainly because we've got a 9-year-old in the house and the artwork's great, but that's not the best machine to buy. And at the end, I'll give you tips as to what's the best machine to buy for your home because they're affordable now.
They are like a man cave's dream,
yes,
aren't they?
Yeah.
To have one of them.
Exactly.
I'd love one. Which is ridiculous, really, because we've got
consoles,
we've got emulators. Yeah, these Raspberry Pi things that one of our listeners has been kind enough to lend me so I can have a couple of games of some old retro games to get me back in the mood for possibly the second part of this, so we can actually talk about what other ones are available now. That looks, you know, because you know about the Raspberry Pis, don't you, Wayne? You know,
I know a little bit about them. There's some topics about games and things that are a bit dodgy, but as long as you own the legal ROM to put the game on the Pi, then you can.
The actual machine itself is lent me. It looks like something that was done in a school science project.
Yeah, it is. They're very versatile things, actually. Yeah. Raspberry Pis, if you like hobbies and messing about with stuff, it's not really Trevor and myself's forte, really.
No. Oh, I believe this dude made it.
Yeah, exactly. If you like tinkering with stuff, Raspberry Pi's for you. You can make lots of stuff out of it to automate your home and different.
I'm looking forward to playing it, using it.
Yeah. A YouTube
just
with that.
Put me back. Yeah, exactly. I'll put a review of it up if you want or something like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll put a link to where people can get hold of them as well, because they're cheap actually to purchase.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he said he made it from like a YouTube video he watched.
Yeah, yeah. You buy the basic bits and you can put different parts on it depending on what you're using it for. But
is there soldering?
Only if you want to, yeah. You can buy, as I say, different stages of kits, and you can basically just build your own arcade machine or something around it.
And you can basically play a lot of the games we're going to mention tonight.
Yeah, so
give us great memories.
Exactly.
And like have led us to what have led you to buy a full-size Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
What isn't cool for somebody around midlife, for a man especially, that where an arcade machine doesn't evoke certain memories like Space Invaders,
exactly.
The cabinet. Just
did you actually play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle very much?
I was actually a bit older then, wasn't I? Because that was late 80s, so I was about 18.
I remember it. I can see it now.
Oh, it's great to have, but get obviously a couple of games inside a massive arcade cabinet. I mean, these are one-up arcade machines. If you don't have the riser with them, they're more for a hobbit because they're only about 45 inches tall, but you buy a riser.
So, do you remember talking of like the way machines were, do you remember tabletop games?
Yeah, you can buy them now as well, cocktail cabinets.
Yeah, they were designed for pubs.
The cocktail tables,
I mean. Their pints. On the table.
They're a big thing now. I'd have one of them in the front room. That might push it.
The controllers were underneath, weren't they?
Yeah, they're brilliant. Underneath. You can get one of them for about 800 quid. Decent ones with 3,000 games on them. Yeah.
3,000? They're all about,
honestly, and a lot of them will be pants games, but a lot of them are the original classics. But some of these, as I say, is a bit of a grey area because some of these games you might be downloading and, you know, like you used to download them, or not download, copy the music onto your tape in 1978 from Top of the Pops onto a tape. It's a bit in that kind of category of stuff. But there is some legal versions we will talk about. Just going
to
say,
if I was to have one arcade machine, I would have Defender.
I was going to say, that's probably the most difficult one to emulate because the amount of buttons that are on the cabinet.
I was going to say, because it was a nightmare to play, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was hard. There was no
all of them were hard, weren't they? Asteroids was hard, to be honest. You do hyperspace and then you appear somewhere in the middle of a boulder and die, you know?
Actually, you're right. I never really thought of it like that. I don't remember any arcade machine being particularly easy.
None of them were. Even Space Invaders, even if you learn the patterns, it still was difficult.
Yeah, I don't remember them being easy, but then you were investing your money in it. It wasn't like you just playing one for fun, were you? You were actually paying for the privilege.
And I say, 10 pence in 1979, 1980, I mean, to me, I didn't get pocket money, so I mean, I had to either get that for my birthday.
Do you remember how much you would go down to the arcades Southend?
This is going to sound really sad now. Well, for a start, I used to go down when I was at junior school, which now kids wouldn't be allowed out.
Don't make people think you were like a chimney sweep.
No, I was. I'm not going to go, thanks Dick Van Dyke.
All of a sudden, you've got like looking for a charity hand.
Yeah, okay. This isn't a cry for help.
Send Wayne shoes.
No, put me as some kind of Oxfam collection or something. But you thought I was no. he tries to push me to these places. I don't really want to go.
Tried to prize out.
Yeah, you
prize out the wiki.
But seriously, and this is what I think you were the same as me when we were. I mean, nowadays, I know this from, obviously, we've got a 9-year-old, and they're not allowed out of your sight these days. But when I was between the ages of 8 and 11, I used to be going down the arcades. Now, I wasn't necessarily allowed to. My mum used to come and pull me out by my ear holes and drag me out into, well, didn't have a Wes ever car. Here we go. Bring the world's smallest violin out again. But yeah, I used to get dragged out. But I used to stand in the arcades. I didn't have any money, just watching people, hoping they'd let me have a go. They like, give me your last life, mate.
I knew you were going to say that. Just hang about and be as annoying as possible.
Yeah, I did. You wouldn't believe that. That's me, would you?
Did you used to put your fingers in the change?
Yes, I used to wait for 10p to fall out the 10p falls, and they did sometimes. I used to get like 30p and think I was rich, you know.
I think when I started going down the arcades, I think I used to take about £2, I think, would last me.
What? Here we go, rich old Trev with all his stuff.
Yeah, no wonder I was a popular kid.
Yeah, giving it all away because he could afford to.
Yeah, I'm sure it was about two. Yeah, I used to have like £2.
Well, this is when you was at a junior school, like kind of.
Yeah, between about 10, 11. I think I used to have £2. Because I'm sure I used to get, I think I was paid £3.50 a week from my paper round.
What, when he was between the age of 8 and 11, you were the chimney sweep.
No, I was obviously a bit older than to do a paper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you don't want to get crows in trouble. Yeah,
no, I wasn't crows. I'd get crows in trouble.
Sorry, this was the local news agent. If anyone's wondering,
yeah, Harvey's.
Harvey's. Sorry.
I think I used to get. I might have been £7.50. I think actually, a week. But when I was sort of 10, 11, I think I used to get £3.50 a week pocket money. So £2 down the arcade was about right. And that would virtually give you either 20 goes of the crappier games for 10p.
Yes.
Or 10 goes of like the newer stuff like Paperboy, Operation Wolf for 20p.
Oh, this is more when you're about 12, 13 now then.
Yeah, they were the 20p 80s. Games, weren't they?
Early
Marble Madness. I think Marble Madness was 20p. Going back to your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade machine, has it got, like gauntlet style four joysticks.
Yeah, that's what the other reason I bought it. Yeah, because it makes it better value in a sense. You can have four people playing it. Yeah, it's great fun.
Yeah, because there's four in the Turtles, wasn't
it? It's got the other Grand Turtles in Time on it as well. But still, you can complete, because you have infinite lives, you can just complete it in it. So I make the little one in our house. I tell him, you're not allowed to do that. You've got to do it with 8 lives or 9 lives or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise, it's not fun, is it?
Three, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you only had 10p left, you only use that to last as long as you could make it last, and that's what kept you going back, wasn't it? The challenge.
One of the other things, and I don't think people realise in today's society, excuse me, is we'd play the arcades because they look so advanced.
Yes,
but we'd still use like Spectrums and VIC-20s and Commodores at home, wouldn't we?
Yes,
we'd still go down the arcades as well because they were like a different world. They were like a lot better. I think I think one of the best games you could take part in was the Star Wars one. You know,
sitting one. That was 1982.
Yeah. Had the kind of line graphics.
Yes, that like vector incredible. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, to have that in your room would be cool, wouldn't it?
They had real sound effects. I love that game. That's what I used to try and get the 10p's from people for, that game.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? And I tell you, when you blew up the Death Star, the white light.
Yeah.
Was explaining. Blinding, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah, that was one. It was very atmospheric. I think it had kind of surround sound.
It's one.
It?
Yes, right. Dolby, and it was one of the first sitting games, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah, it was.
I remember seeing it in Harbour Lights and thinking, "Wow, that's amazing." Harbour Lights was an arcade.
It looked incredible, didn't it? All the paintings. That was the other thing as well with a lot of the arcade machines was the graphics around it.
But that's still what you choose when you have one at home. The graphics are part of it.
I think. One of the best side graphic panels was Galaxian, wasn't it?
Yes.
With the kind of insect with the big eyes. That was incredible. They were art in itself, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And still, really you were. Still get that feeling. I'll tell you what, Trev, because I know it's not something you've really looked into. I'll send you some of the links to some of the places I've been looking and the graphic and artwork, because it does evoke them memories of being young again, you know?
Yeah. I bet you were one of those kids that used to press the button on Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones.
Because I didn't have any money, I used to walk around the arcade just looking.
That's it.
And the Raiders of the Lost Ark machine, again, this this is when I was about 12. I did, once I got, like Trev, once I got a paper round, I was okay. I used to spend it, obviously, down the arcades when I was 12, when I got a paper round. So then I used to earn £6.50 and I was rich as far as it went. But there was a game when I didn't have any money called Raiders of the Lost Ark, but obviously, but oh, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, wasn't it?
Temple of Doom, it was the second film.
The second one. So I must have been a bit older then. So I'm 16 pushing buttons on things. That's a bit childish, isn't it? It's a bit like now, grow up, please. So that's really dropped myself in it there. But you used to push the button on the thing and you used to get a free play of the music, didn't you?
The
theme tune. And I thought that was clever.
Like, actually, the game weren't a lot of bottle, was it?
No, it's rubbish. It was on the minecart, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it weren't a lot. Bottle there. So to be honest, I'm thinking if you were hanging about arcades when you were 16, you were one of those guys.
Oh, like, definitely. A whole evolved of the whole thing, Trev, right from Space Invaders and Pac-Man right through to until I was in my 20s and the PlayStation came out, I think. And
I think where me and you differed though, when we were like with arcades and machines, was I was only ever into the video games. You actually quite like the kind of fruit machines and stuff.
You remember that? I'm not now, am I? I hate them.
No. But
I used to play the fruit machines. Yeah,
even when we were in our early 20s, remember like us going for a beer after work and stuff, and I could see it flashed in your eyes. You were like, and you were one of them guys that you could listen to it, couldn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
You'd listen to it. There was loads. There was guys we went to school with or we knew. Actually, that's what they did for a living.
I know a guy, I won't say his name, but some of the people I went to junior school would know him as well. But he used to, actually, the one I used to first go down the arcades with, he lived right near the seafront. And he actually earned a living from going around playing fruit machines until he was banned from every sort of one within a 100-mile radius.
You probably thought he was well cool doing that.
Yeah. But to be honest, when you're older, you sort of think, well, where'd you go with that? You know what I mean? It's cool for a while. Do it as a hobby.
Step in this career.
Where's your promotion on this one? Yeah, you're not going to be the sales director of winning on fruit machines.
No, not at all. No.
But I suppose if he's a millionaire now, then I might be sort of a little bit jealous. I don't know. But
I'll tell you what, two games, well, actually three as well, thinking of it now, three games that changed it for me. One was when Track and Field came out.
Yes, brilliant.
Because it was so different, wasn't it?
Good call, yeah.
There was no joystick or anything. Well, there was.
They brought it out later, didn't they?
The first one was the buttons, weren't they?
The first
one were the buttons.
Hard work.
They even put like button guards on, didn't they?
Yeah.
Remember them? Because we were like developing skills on how to bash the buttons.
Timing.
And that.
Well, yeah.
There was like really weird, like, get into like a really kind of weird mantra stance to play it.
Like
I was semi-handicapped, trying to kind of get in there to really kind of, that changed it.
It was like they'd done a workout finishing it, wasn't it? Christ, it was hard work. Tongue was hanging out.
The other one for me, a big thing, was seeing the handlebars on Paperboy.
Yeah, Paperboy, a great game.
Because when you saw and the graphics,
it came out on the Spectrum, didn't it? Afterwards, yeah,
it did. Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
seeing that, because you just couldn't help but get attracted to like a video game with a pair of handlebars as a controller.
Yeah, yeah, what a great idea.
Like, do you remember as well that freaky machine that actually had a real kind of motorbike on rollers?
Yes, I can't remember what that's called.
A trial bike. Now, if anybody remembers what that was called, but it was like a life-size trial bike, wasn't
that's right, yeah,
it? And then later on
Hang On and that come out, didn't they?
That's in a cage, wasn't it?
Yes, I know the one you mean.
The cage, you'd put the money in, the cage gate would open and it was shut, wouldn't it, for safeties, and you could get on it and ride and it would move about.
Yeah,
I never had the kahunas to play that. To be honest, it just looked awful. It was just like,
but that was the golden age, wasn't it? The late 70s, obviously, with the Space Invaders and everything else. And then, obviously, when Frogger. We were growing up, and the Frogger, and 1942, Moon Patrol, Popeye.
Do the music for 1942.
Oh, no.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I do know it. Yeah, I do. These things are in your head, aren't they? Yeah, forever.
It used to flip, didn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. A lot of games have copied that now. You know, the sort of things you play on your Android or Apple phone, where the space copy 1942. You know, great game. But then
Red Tank.
And Red Tank was a bit. Yeah, it was one of the originals. I used to play that. Yeah, just. I mean, it's terrible, really, but. And then obviously we've evolved into this middle 80s now, like Trevor saying, with Paperboy, Crystal Castle, Space Harrier.
Yeah.
These are games that you sat in and interacted with.
Yeah, Marble Madness.
Marble Madness had a trackball, didn't it?
Great. Yeah. And that, I love the way that every time you got the marble smashed, there was like different
ways of it swept it up.
There's different ways of it dying. Like it would disappear in acid, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, brilliant game. I'm looking forward to playing these again.
Yeah, one of the freakiest games. And I did used to play it, but it was really hard because the controls are hard. And it wasn't really what you think would make a good video game was Tabooing. Do you remember? Is it
Tabooing? Oh, Tabooing, yeah. You go down the rapids and in a little tube.
On a tire.
Yeah, yeah. I was really good at that. Yeah, really good. Different controls.
You'd have to paddle
with
your legs and your arms.
I really like that. That's when it was a bit older. That was 1991. That was about then.
Really?
Oh, Christ,
if you got spinning round, you were gone, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You spun round, you couldn't. That's it. And the current would take and you were done.
Brilliant game. Yeah, I forgot. Totally forgotten that game. Brilliant game.
Yeah, Tabooing.
That's how they kind of evolved. And say now it's the golden age of arcade machines are gone. Trevor touched on it earlier, but basically the Spectrum and the other Commodore 64 and other game systems, Atari, they emulated the games, but it was always better to go to the arcades, where now you're actually better off at home, I think, with the displays we have and everything, the 4Ks.
Yeah, you are, like in HD and stuff.
So it's really gone. I noticed when I went to an arcade of late, mostly the only things they're trying to sell now is like VR experiences, you know?
I haven't been to one for ages. I keep talking about it with some of the lads from like BV about having like a sort of meet down the seafront and like playing those kind of games. But I tell you the other one that had really good music and that you knew instantly someone, because you'd walk in an arcade and you could hear all
the sounds. Yeah.
And another one that always used to stand out for me was Peter Gunn. Is it Peter Gunn for Spy Hunter?
Oh,
you could hear a mile off, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And the side of that was really cool, wasn't it? Because it had like a spy with a leggy bird. Listen to me. Sorry about it.
Yeah, that's sexy. That's because we were in the teens then, so that's why you're thinking
exactly,
like that. Yeah,
I could say it. Yeah, exactly. You know? We had like a leggy lady on the side of it, didn't it? With a leg up.
It did. Yeah, that was a great game. Yeah, going in the back of the truck and upgrading, so you could have an even better machine.
Be a boat, couldn't you?
Yeah, be a boat. Yeah, great.
That was that was great.
Memories. Actually, to keep this nostalgia trip going, I think this time maybe we could do a little test and bring up some of the other games around that era.
What my arcade knowledge
and a bit
is
with
like.
Test Trev on arcades. Yes.
So shame you wouldn't have thought about it earlier. You could have changed that music to like a video.
I could have. Yeah, I could have done something
But because we're so prepared.
Spy Hunter. Yeah, because we don't roll like that.
10 minutes
Trevor
before.
Actually thinks of things while we're actually halfway through the actual podcast. Thanks for that, Trev.
Yeah.
And we don't do any editing here, as we say. This is exactly as it happened, folks. But So, questions for this week. I've tried not to make, because to be honest, Trev, I went online and I went on some quizzes. And this is where I actually realised that I obviously spent too much of my childhood at arcades, because I was just getting them easy. And I thought I got to be a bit more testing than that, but not too, too difficult. So, these are a sort of in between. I think you'll do okay. So, question one, name the sequel arcade machine to the classic Galaxian.
Gallagher.
Yes. Oh. Yes, I knew. Yeah. Again, I thought it might make sense.
It's mentioned in one of the Avengers movies, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, indeed. Gallagher. Yeah. Do you know, Iron Man says it. For a non-existent bonus point, can you name the difference, really? The main difference?
Didn't Gallagher go around in a circle?
It did go up the side slightly, but main difference was if your ship got captured and you rescue it, you keep both ships on the screen. That was, double firepower.
I was
going to
say there was
two ships.
Yeah, it was.
But don't worry, there was no points in that, so you got that one right. Don't worry, mate. So, number two. This is a bit more difficult, and I wouldn't expect you to get this, but you've mentioned this game already, and it is your favourite, so you might. And I knew this. The control panel on Defender and Stargate are identical except for one thing. And what is that? Ooh, I can hear him ticking. I can hear it.
That's my cat snoring again.
Oh, is it the cat snoring?
Yeah, the cat snoring.
The cat wants to get in on this action.
He loves it when I'm doing this podcast. He just like.
But does he know what the panel difference between Defender and Stargate?
I don't want to wake him up and ask him.
He would know though, wouldn't he? Yeah.
He would.
You're not going to get this one.
No, hold on. Hold on.
You're Googling it. I know. You're taking too long.
I'm not. So there's a button difference.
Yeah, identical, except for one thing.
If I was to say the word hyperspace, would that mean anything?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not, you're not, you're close, but you're not right. I was going to give you the answer because we're on limited time. Stargate has an Invisio antimatter cloaking device, which makes your ship invisible and indestructible.
Of course, that was on the tip of my tongue.
You're always using the word Invisio, so aren't you, in the day-to-day life?
Right there.
So I have to give you one of these for that one. But they weren't easy, to be fair. But I think you'll get this one.
I couldn't have even pronounced that one.
Well, you didn't have to say that. You just said that you had a cloaking device built in. But next question, question three. In the classic Atari game Centipede, what appears when you shoot the centipede once?
These are hard, aren't they?
Well, I'll give you a multiple choice. So in the classic Atari game Centipede...
I do know.
Is it A, a millipede, B, a purple grasshopper, C, another centipede, or D, a new mushroom?
Oh, I can see it.
It's a new mushroom. It's the mushroom. Oh, you was going to say it. I said to you before, always go with your thoughts.
I should have done. And the reason I didn't say mushroom is I thought it was put in there as a red herring because obviously that's got something to do with sort of Mario Brothers.
Yeah, no, I know. You're overthinking it. And that's the thing. Yeah. I haven't made these really – these were more of the tougher questions because I'm not being funny. The easy ones for us, we would just plough through and it wouldn't make it – want people to be thinking at home. Okay, so last one. Again, it's not easy, you might know it. Question four. What was Mario's original name in the video game Donkey Kong? And it's something to do with the way he carries on. It's very basic. Mario's Junkie? Original name. It's not bad. I'm going to give you that. It's not, but... It's Jumpman. Jumpman.
I knew you
were on the right track.
The
reason it's called Donkey
Kong. I was going to say Jumper.
Yeah, well, you obviously have heard it. I've heard the reference before. And I think the reason it was called Donkey Kong is in Japan, donkey can mean kind of crazy or something like that. So, you know, obviously they called it
that. Is it for everywhere, isn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want you to go where you think you're going to go with the word donkey. So that's... donkey. I know we put this podcast in as explicit, but there's a limit to where we can go with that. So, exactly. Still a good performance, Trev. Hopefully people remember them games. Bit of nostalgia going on.
Yeah, they were hard questions. Actually,
it was challenging. As I say, it took me a long time to find them questions because I didn't want to make it too easy and just everyone's going, oh, Pac-Man, Space Invaders, I must admit, when it came to the end of my video game arcade experience when I was sort of late teens, early 20s, the games I were playing had advanced into games like Dragon's Lair and Space Ace, which I loved.
You still used Space Ace as like your hand stuff.
I still do for some things.
I don't know, like kind of email addresses and stuff, didn't you at one point?
I don't now. So don't try and get into my bank account, anyone out there, by using the words. Exactly, it doesn't work now. I've changed all that.
What was the hero's name? Dirk, wasn't it?
That was Dragon's Lair. Dexter was Space Ace. I've got it on DVD. You can play it. I mean, it was one of them games, I don't know if people know out there, but they're animated. And they're basically, you've only got one way to move, and you hit the button at the right time,
it was all to do with timing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's quite easy to learn. But as I got older, I wanted to have the experience of being like the king of a machine, because I used to go down the arcades. I don't know if anyone experiences, I'm sure Trev knows, but you go down and there's everyone's name at the top of the leaderboard all the time, and I wanted to be that person. So
what did you used to put in?
For some reason, WOT.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I even know why. I don't know, because we used to a lot of them Chad figures.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Yeah, I know what mine was. Mine was always SPG.
What's that for?
Special Patrol Group.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was, you know why? Because it was Vivian's hamster off the
Young Ones. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's quite clever for some. Yeah, that's why in your youth.
For an 11-year-old. Yeah. No, obviously, you weren't familiar with me on there because I never used to get on. And there was always that one guy, wasn't there, down our seafront?
Yes. There was a guy called, P-I-G, Pig. Oh, you see, and his name was at the top of every leaderboard, and I wanted to be him.
Every machine you went up to and looked at, his name was on it.
But you know when you say, Trev, you reap what you sow. I mean, when I actually found out who this was, and I didn't know, I was watching a guy. I can't remember what one of the games it was, but this guy was smashing it on this arcade machine. And this was years after I'd seen the name around everywhere. And I saw this guy smashing it. I thought, this is entertaining. And he finished, put his name in. It was him. It was P.I.G.
Really?
God, he looked like the biggest geek you can ever imagine.
What a surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise. Because he did nothing else but play video games all day long. So
play video games.
You know.
Remember, I don't know how old me and you were, but we actually tried to reminisce, didn't we? Do you remember one Christmas Eve, we finished work, and we went down the arcades.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember this?
Yes.
And there was an arcade, a really grotty old one that was a really cheap one. And they used to do like food, didn't they? Like breakfast.
Had a dull tin of beans from 1948 on the shelf.
Yeah. The only one I remember, it used to have like, it was called Wonderland.
Wonderland, yeah.
And when we were kids, upstairs.
Scalextric.
But downstairs, it was, but this counter they served was awful, and as you say, they used to have like a pyramid of beans counter, didn't they? Or like a little display of Nesquik chocolate milk. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I loved it in there.
And I remember me and you getting a breakfast, and we sat outside because we wanted to smoke, and we sat outside in the freezing cold on Christmas Eve eating these horrible fried breakfasts. We did this before we went for a drink, didn't we?
Yeah,
and it, honestly, we were freezing. And I remember, like, dropping a sausage on the
as they say, said the vicar to the top.
Exactly. And I remember it. And I remember it rolling off. And I was still so hungry and cold that I actually ate it off the floor.
Yes.
And I can remember it had grit in it. And I was like, and the old girl, she had a really greasy tabard on, didn't she? Like
tabard.
A see-through greasy
woman
tabard.
In a tabard.
I mean, we still had our work uniform on, didn't we?
You'd be glad to know that Trev and I have evolved since then. We now eat indoors. We eat our greasy fruit. No, it's gone now.
But you could smoke inside, couldn't you?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going back 20, 30 years.
Why do we sit outside?
I don't know. Smoking, it must have been smoking related, I think. Obviously something from our past.
You couldn't sit inside. I don't think there was any seats, not tables inside.
But hopefully some of the people out there have their own memories which are similar, you know. I think all guys around our age would have had the experiences with the arcades at some point, or had some interaction with it.
Depends, though, because we brought up in a seaside town.
This is true. Yeah.
Maybe
when it's more urban, it tends to be the more fruit machines inside the buildings kind of thing, doesn't it?
Then they sort of evolved to them other, like, really awful kind of shops that just had fruit machines.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, look more like gambling places. Yeah,
they were. If you look, and you couldn't get. It was like a real life cantina, Mos Eisley. You couldn't get a collection of scumbags, could you?
Yeah.
In those, it looked awful. My mum was like, "Don't ever go in there." Don't ever go in there.
Well, you're talking about places like Q's that used to be the place in Southend, which I used to spend a lot of my childhood in.
That was near the bus stop. That was that was clever though, putting one there, because people that were waiting for the bus
go and spend would a just go 50p in and or something.
It was kind of, but yeah, that Wonderland trip was very fun.
I'm glad you enjoyed it and you've stayed a part of your memory forever, Trev. I take you to all the best places, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So I'd like to share with everyone, just like basically, I've been doing a lot of research because I'm going to buy this other machine for home. And I'm going to try and encourage Trev to get one at some point because he's got some spare rooms as well. And so we can both waste 800 quid on something. But these are available, come from America, but this one is a proper built gaming system. And it also includes three different control ways. So you can play all the different games like we've been mentioning, Crystal Castles, Marble Madness, as Trev mentioned earlier. It's got a trackball built into it. It's got six buttons, a joystick and two spinners. So you can play Breakthrough and things like that. You can every control. It's a two player at the same time. It's got a 24-inch screen. It's full size, £800. It's called, and I'm not sponsored by them. We're not sponsored by them at all. I'm just saying. But if you want to send me one, you can. it's called an AT Games Legend Ultimate 300 multi-game arcade machine. I've done my research on it.
Any more on that description of the name? take a breath.
I'll just say AT Games Legend Ultimate 300 multi. I've got it tattooed. But
4 hours later, it's AK1271.
But seriously, all jokes to one side, I'm not sponsored by one. But honestly, that is the best one available in the UK. 300 games built in. All things you remember, all the different ways to play it. It can be upgraded. You can buy other ones for the same sort of money that have got 3,000 games built in. Don't get me wrong. But they're shady. Yes, sir.
Talking of controllers,
yes.
Do you remember what video game had the best controller in your
mind? Oh, God. I mean, you've said that Paperboy had handlebars,
it wasn't the best game. We played it. It wasn't the best game, but it had the best controller, in my opinion.
Go on, tell us.
Tron.
Yes, Tron. Yes,
the trigger, the gun handle, like
yeah, the trigger,
neon blue. It was lit up, wasn't it?
Incredible.
The game had nothing to do with the film, did it?
Not really. It was basically
the spiders and stuff. I see the spiders are in the film for like,
and the bikes are in there, the laser bikes.
The bikes are in. It was a hard game though.
It was like all the others. It was very challenging, but the music was great. Great game. I'd like to. That cabinet's not available as far as I can see, but it'd be lovely to.
Really had a cool cabinet.
Actually. We should do. We maybe conclude and we'll come up with our own king of the arcades, Trev. So, in summary, Trev, your king of the arcades.
Well, what machine-wise?
Yes.
Defender for me.
Yeah, really?
I just loved it. I just loved the idea of it. I know there was everything, there were other things like IR Kung Fu and that were really cool, Operation Roof Commando. But just as a classic, Defender was just great for me. I don't know why I like it so much. I just do.
I think that's a good choice, Trev. I like Defender. Very difficult game. As I say, I don't think they can emulate it properly yet because the button configuration is so different. It's difficult because some of the ones I enjoyed more come later on when I was better at them. I used to play games like just quickly like Punch Out, and I could complete
Punch
it easily.
Out. Yeah, that was great.
I was older then, but I enjoyed it. So I would like to have it. So I think I will go. I'll go with Punch Out.
Punch Out.
Yeah,
it was different. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
And remember, all you listeners, winners don't use drugs.
No, it says that at the start of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Well, a lot of games, Smash TV had that on it.
I said that to the boy. I said, look, winners don't use drugs. He doesn't even know what drugs are at 9 years old yet.
We'll leave this show on that comment. We remember, kiddies, winners
don't use drugs. And remember, this game is not over.
It's not. We've got plenty left in it. We've got your last man.
We definitely, let me have your last man. Exactly. We've said that a few times. So thanks for joining us on this nostalgic journey of video arcades.
Really took us back to the times
when I made Trev eat sausages off the floor. So
excellent. It was per choice.
Thanks everyone for joining us. Hope you've had fun. Until next time, we'll see you on the next one.
See you later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.